Nephilim Nightmare is one of my books that details the beginnings of the Nephilim found in Genesis 6. We also discuss the origins of the Pleiadians and the messages that they're sending to Earth. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative, biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
You know, something tends to stand out among the volumes of research available regarding the subject of the New Age. It's the fact that many who are seriously involved in this movement have some type of religious training in their backgrounds. And what I mean by that is that many individuals come from households where some type of religion was practiced or was at least acknowledged in some way. In any number of cases, each parent had their own particular religious background, though the child may have grown up ultimately practicing nothing. For instance, it's interesting to know that many come from Baptist backgrounds, Jewish backgrounds, other Protestant affiliations, along with various religions, and of course many are atheists or agnostics. And one individual I came across in my research goes by the name of Leah Shapiro. And she's one who comes from a mixed culture religion. Her father was Jewish, though a professed atheist, and while Leah's mother was Southern Baptist. Now, in Leah's book called Comes the Awakening, Realizing the Divine Nature of Who You Are, a Pleiadian book, she gives a bit of her testimony, so to speak. And it's interesting, albeit it's sad at the same time. For her, it was a mixed bag of outlooks on life. And she recalls stating this: "My parents never did figure out what beliefs or religion we should be raised with," unquote. She readily admits that while she grew, no religion was practiced in their home. And while she admits to not knowing a thing about the Bible, she grew up learning to trust in her own spiritual power. Now, as an adult, she now states that she is a higher-level Pleiadian. Through a blended path of, I guess, learning the hippie ways, to giving a peace chance, to protesting, to a time of spiritual awakening, Leah came to learn that she was actually not a physical being with a spirit, but actually a spiritual being with a body of flesh. You know, what's funny is that these realizations came to her over time and through visions that she encountered. It was through these visions that she came to know herself and her purpose. Within those visions, she met an individual whom she describes as a light being. This particular light being turned out to be none other than Jesus, she tells us. Of course, as she quickly discovered, Jesus was not the Jesus that the Bible has made of him, but he was as we are, she says. Now, like many, Leah came to the realization that she's God. And she uses the capital G, by the way. She describes an experience that she states was being born again, though at the time she was not aware of what that term meant. It was a day in which she says she came to God, but not through Jesus. Of that experience, she says this, quote, "I didn't believe in Jesus, or not in the biblical sense anyway. I didn't believe in sin either, but I read the prayer in the booklet my sister had sent just in case. That was the day I simply gave up. I said, okay, God, I give up. And I read a prayer twice just to make sure. I had no one to turn to but God, although I was not sure where God was. I only knew that I needed divine help," unquote. Experiences like those just described are fast becoming the norm for people involved in the New Age. The New Age is vastly more than simply people meditating to achieve various stages of relaxation. It incorporates a complex belief system in which Nephilim demons masquerade as aliens to teach human beings the alleged truth of the Bible and all about God. Now, if you read my last book, or the book that came before this one but had the same topic, Demons in Disguise, then you already know of my perspective. You're already aware of what I believe with respect to demons and Nephilim. You know, for instance, that I believe that the demons of Christ's day and of our day are largely the Nephilim who were forced to vacate their physical bodies when the global flood of Noah's day came upon the entire earth. Now, since that time, they roam the spiritual realm and our physical realm, seeking another body to inhabit and control. And one of the greatest weapons of deceit that these Nephilim demons use against human beings, besides our lack of knowledge, is our gullibility, and the two are connected. Because we are fallen creatures, everything about us is fallen, including our emotions. These Nephilim demons have learned that they can control us through our emotions. We are susceptible to their suggestions, their false visions, more properly termed hallucinations, and more because of these things and how they affect our emotions. Now, once they have our emotions, folks, they have us. To those who are not looking for any type of spiritual utopia, these people are already theirs as well. These individuals, unlike those within aspects of the New Age movement, believe in themselves just like New Agers do, but their reasoning is built on the axiom that you gotta watch out for number one. But in truth, both groups cater to this axiom. While the person normally seen as the outcast of society, often found within the repugnant underbelly, tends to live by this adage that points the focus directly on them and their needs, the New Ager's motivation is really no different. It only appears to be different, since what they seem to be yearning for is much more altruistic. The truth of the matter is that all groups within society, not authentically Christian, yearn to fulfill their own selfish desires any way they can. To believe that because of involvement in the New Age, the motivation becomes instantly the opposite of self-serving is merely part of the enemy's deception. It's all self-serving. Now, what I want to do in these lessons, and as I present them to you, it's really the result of studying and research aspects of the New Age that I had only heard, but not too deeply. The amount of lies, though, that are routinely spoken or transmitted to human beings, as well as the twisted way in which the Bible is regularly taught by these same Nephilim demons, is astounding. And the most tragic aspect of all of this is that these individuals who have fallen so hard under the spell of the Nephilim horde that they roundly and without hesitation reject what the Bible teaches, believe it to be false. They prefer to receive and accept the words of a strange being who neither is asked to prove his identity nor offers to do so. Now, of course, it does not necessarily connect only to the New Age movement throughout the world. These Nephilim demons and fallen angels are also busy plying their lies and deceptions onto those in the visible church. And they do this through people who sound and are very intelligent. And in many cases, they have a very easygoing writing style and speaking style, which tends to draw the reader or the listener into their snare. Many are completely unaware that these individuals are foisting absolute heresy onto the individuals within the visible church. And they're able to do this because most people do not know what they believe. Now, the Pleiadian web of deceit is really the Nephilim web of deceit. I want to make that clear. For it is through these beings that the lie is being perpetrated today, as Pleiadians for the New Age and the Aquarian movements, and as Christian-looking leaders who, while using terminology familiar with the average Christian, undergirds their message with blasphemous views. Now, when Christians come out against their views, these same Christian-looking leaders have no difficulty in remonstrating against them in order to embarrass them into silence. It's quite an intricate web that the Nephilim demons and fallen angels have worked to create over centuries. Largely, humanity is certainly caught within the many layers of this web. They've been busy spinning their web slowly, methodically, and consistently wrapping it around anyone who comes too close. Extrication from this web seems impossible, because there are too many voices out there preaching the same message. Though unique to various groups, however, God is able. He calls us never to forget the command that we received from our Lord Jesus Christ, who stated that we are to evangelize the lost. Now, as we go through the message, I pray that God will grant us His heart, His compassion, His wisdom, and His words to reach out to people like Leah, people who are desperate in need of His truth and His salvation. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the Nephilim nightmare is exactly that, a nightmare being perpetrated against humanity and building to its scheduled and foreordained climax. It goes much further than just the New Age or the space alien phenomenon. In fact, I believe it has wormed its way into virtually every area of society, though in many ways, people seem completely unaware of it. This goes along perfectly with the delusion that God says He is sending people so that they will believe the lie. And Paul tells us this in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11. People are not merely focusing primarily on aliens or space beings or whatever label they are given, yet that seems to be the most obvious channel. Folks the world over have been and continue to be affected and infected with the unadulterated evil that Nephilim demons foist upon them as they search for available human hosts. You know, what's fascinating and alarming is the way in which this has occurred slowly and consistently over time. It makes sense, though, that they would opt to work their program in such a way so that people do not become wise to their true purpose and threat. Beyond this, the space alien connection is, as revealed to the world through the New Age, is simply part of the problem, a problem far more nuanced and seemingly less evil than other avenues through which Nephilim demons, fallen angels, and even Satan himself have infiltrated earthly society. You know, parts of these audio messages are not pretty, though they have a wonderful and bright conclusion for those who trust in Christ. These audio messages will endeavor to reveal the work of evil spirits masquerading, who masquerade as Pleiadians. And beyond this, we're going to delve into the underbelly of society, into areas not normally noticed by the average individual, areas in which these same groups of evil spirits, and they're the Nephilim demons and the fallen angels, they either masquerade as something else entirely or choose to remain deep in the shadows, well behind the human being they have affected and infected with their diabolical and detrimental theology. Now, in noting this, please understand that it is not my intent to glorify any violence, depravity, or even rank evil of human beings who have given themselves over to these spiritual entities, either knowingly or unknowingly. The majority of details in most cases that I'm going to highlight are purposefully kept to a minimum. Yet at the same time, these areas need highlighting so that it's understood with what we are dealing. The spiritual beings that flit from their dimension to ours instantly and disappear just as quickly are without question malevolent. Even atheists and agnostics who have spent years researching the alien phenomenon have arrived at some conclusion, and it's the same conclusion that we're arriving at in our books, though they don't believe that demons and fallen angels are the culprits. These same entities that wreaked havoc on God's creation to the point that God had to destroy his creation, except for Noah, his family, and the animals they took on with them on the ark, are here with us today. These beings, while their physical bodies may have died at one point in time, in spiritual form, have continued to chase after human flesh, incarcerating themselves within the human body whenever possible. This gives them the ability to do more than they would do if they merely remained in the shadows of the spiritual dimension apart from flesh. Now, by bringing themselves in contact with and eventually taking up residence within human beings, they once again experience what they experienced during the days of Noah, when they enjoyed the physical experience their original bodies afforded them. The physical pleasures these beings chase after are assuaged only when they have another physical body to work through and manipulate. Since the time God saw fit to destroy his entire living creation, these Nephilim demons, fallen angels, and Satan himself know that they roam around on borrowed time. They realize their end is sure simply because of the fact that Christ died and was resurrected. The death of Christ made the victory possible, and the resurrection sealed the deal. Neither death nor Satan could hold the author of life in the ground. Certainly, as the book of Job testifies, they have always been under God's control. Satan was actually defeated from the moment God issued the prophecy of his coming defeat through the Messiah's death way back in Genesis 3. This prophetic utterance by God sealed the deal then. But Satan has been allowed to continue to work since then because, in keeping with his natural proclivities, he desires to overturn God's work and his promises. God has put Satan's actual sentencing until his full purposes are met. So he's put it off until then. And that's our show for today. So join me next time. And until then, may God open your eyes to see how richly blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.